Welcome to the e-commerce Momentum Podcast, where we focus on the people, the products, and the process of e-commerce selling today. Here's your host, Stephen Peterson.
Welcome back to the e-commerce Momentum Podcast. This is episode 161, Craig Cody. You know, get ready to talk tax. Yes, I'm an accountant and I'm excited about tax because you should be excited about tax. Because by now you're figuring out you probably owe a whole bunch of it. And Craig is a certified tax coach. So he's a CPA. And his advice is a little more specific because what he does is try to help you find a way to keep more of what you made. And that's his focus. So a specialist in tax is somebody different than your generic general accountant. And he explains what the difference is. And the word compliance makes so much sense to me and really hear that. And he uses it a whole bunch of times. So let's get into the podcast and get excited. Tax. All right, welcome back to the e-commerce Momentum Podcast. And I'm excited because I'm back with what I think I'm going to do every year is as the year closes out, I want to bring us value, bring you value, the listeners, on how to really close out your business for the year and then set you up for success in the following year. And I think the gentleman that we have today is really going to help us in a lot of different ways, but specifically tax. And tax is a very big deal. It's better if it isn't, you'll find out that it is very shortly. Craig Cody. Welcome, Craig.
Hi, thanks. Thank you very much for having me.
Well, thank you for coming on. The timeliness, that's why scheduling for both of us, because, you know, the holidays are here and you've been sick and I've been traveling and trying to get it scheduled is difficult because you're going to be busy very, very, very soon, correct?
Yeah. I mean, we're not as busy as a lot of places are for tax season because we deal with business owners and we work with them throughout the year. So we're busy, but we're still out the office by 6 o'clock at night.
Oh, that's not bad. It's interesting you say that. You really are more of a tax planner, right? You're really looking to say, hey, Steve, let me help you with your business long term, right? Let me help you long term strategize to minimize your tax. Pay the, follow the law, whatever the law is, but make sure we can minimize your tax because, quite frankly, that's cash flow, right? I mean, it really is.
Most definitely. It's all about keeping more of what you make.
That's not a bad thing. It's funny, if you do pay attention to those things, those little margin, I call them margin killers, all those little things, they add up very, very quickly and it can be substantial. So,
yes.
So how did you become a certified tax coach? I mean, you're a CPA, be clear
yes.
about that, and you're in New York State?
Yes.
Okay. So how do you go about it? Did you say, hey, I'm going to school, I'm going to be an accountant and be cool like Steve? Is that what it was?
No. Well, as you know, this was a second career for me. So
let's talk about that. No, I don't know.
Okay. My first career, I was a New York City police officer. I retired after 17 years as a lieutenant.
Wait. You were a police officer who turned into an accountant? Or were you an accountant that went police officer and then eventually became an accountant?
No, I was a police officer that turned into an accountant.
Really?
At some point, I really got enthralled with taxes, and I went back to school, and it was time to retire, and I was very lucky, and I'm able to do something that I really enjoy. And, it's been said, the adrenaline rush that you get chasing a perp down the street, I get that same adrenaline rush when I do a tax plan. I save somebody $20, $30, whatever it is, $1,000, $15,000.
Have you really had experiences where you save somebody $20,000 to $30,000? Honestly.
Over 400. How's that?
Wow. It's funny because I was just thinking about one of our groups that I'm in, and there's two sellers and their partners, an amazing two fellas. And they sold, $4, $5, $6 million this year. And I saw a post the other day. They were like, oh my God, we owe a lot of money in taxes. Is there another CPA I can run this by to make sure that I'm not overpaying? And I'm thinking to myself, when you're at that level and you have that much liability, it's a very good investment to spend whatever it takes to be certain. Would you agree?
Oh, yes, because we bring a lot of value. And, the average tax plan probably saves somebody $15,000 to $20,000 a year.
No kidding. Versus, so I you and I had on the pre-show, I discussed it. I have an accounting degree. I'm an accountant. I don't do my own taxes. And the reason is I don't keep up on it because there's just so many changes and it's political and I don't want to read about it. I don't care. let him handle it, right? And so I have to have somebody. Can you practice, first off, in every state?
Yes. Okay. As a CPA, the only thing I cannot do in other states that I'm not licensed in is sign off on financials.
Okay. Okay. And so that's not relevant what we're talking about here. But you basically take a tax return from some other CPA or somebody who did it themselves and go through and parse it and try to find, you know, things that weren't done correctly, weren't done as far as they can go. Is that a way to say it?
Yeah. So basically, you know, most accountants out there, CPAs, are very good at what they're doing. They're putting the right numbers in the right boxes. They're doing all the compliance work. But they look at it differently than we look at things. We look at where are the missed opportunities, where are the missed deductions, where can we take full advantage of the legal tax laws and save you money. So we analyze your business returns, we analyze your personal returns, and we look for those missed opportunities and deductions.
And I guess I'm a little early on this. There's a fee, I assume.
Yes. Yes, there's a fee.
So walk me through a fee. So I'm a $500,000 business, and you know, I think I'm paying my accountant maybe, I don't know, $1,000 to do my taxes, maybe $1,200 including my personal taxes. And I come to you and say, hey, could you go through and look at my tax returns?
Right. So typically what we do is we do an analysis. We come up with missed opportunities and deductions. We figure out, okay, it's X amount of dollars in savings. Our fee is typically runs in the range of $3,500 to $7,500 for the plan. It's 100% refundable, and nobody's ever asked for their money back because your typical first year return on investment is 3 to 6 times.
So, I mean, what happens, though, when you look at mine and my guy is that good, didn't find a thing? What's the cost?
Oh, we don't. That's the initial analysis. There is no cost.
Okay. Okay. So this is, in essence, a free service for you to take a second look at somebody and say, you know what, Steve, you got a good guy. He's done a good job for you. Life is good, right?
Correct.
Have you had to do that?
No.
How many, you know, I don't know, probably thousands of tax returns. You've never found one that was perfect?
Well, tax plans and analyzing tax returns, I've analyzed well over 100, and I've never found one that was perfect.
Really?
Because you know, typically, you know, accountants, people go to their accountant, you know, after the fact.
Right.
Okay, they're not working with them on a regular basis. They're not being proactive. We're proactive. We know where to look. We know what you're allowed to do. I go through about 10 days a year of training. So I know things that maybe the regular CPA who's more immersed in compliance work isn't going to, you know, readily know. There's no rocket science here.
Right. You're not interpreting things. You're just going to the letter of the law saying, hey, this is allowed, this isn't allowed, right?
Exactly. And when we do a plan, we give you, it's a binder, and every strategy that we recommend comes with the tax code, which says you can do that, and it gives you some information about that.
Will you defend me in front of the IRS if I get audited because of the tax advice that you had given me?
Of course.
Okay. Just making sure people understand what the value of a CPA and what they can do.
If you cannot defend it, it's not worth doing.
Mm-hmm. I love it. Okay. So how did you get interested in e-commerce? Because you have e-commerce clients, correct?
Yes, I do.
It's interesting because it's such a different business, right? It's relatively new, right? I mean, it's conceptually a lot of the concepts are the same, but there's a lot of nuances for e-commerce that don't exist in a brick and mortar.
Oh, yeah. I mean, and it's such a growing, you know, industry. But it also is just like, you know, every other business out there. You have to look and you have to see what you can do, what you're allowed to do and what you're missing. So, you know, I hate to say it's not rocket science, but it's not rocket science. You know, typically the biggest issue we typically find is, you know, the wrong entity selection.
Okay. So let's talk about that. So that's a legal term, right? So that I'm a sole proprietor or I'm a LLC or I'm a C corp or what else, right?
An S corp.
Okay. And so how do I know that, how does somebody go about knowing that they've chosen the right corporation? Is that what the questions, you know, the background information you collect?
Right. That's all part of what we do. And, you know, what it comes down to is most times when people form an entity, you know, they go to the attorney and, you know, they say, I want to start a business. And he'll say, okay, well, you should, you know, form an LLC, or you should form an S corporation, or you could start out as a sole proprietorship. But there's no communication between the accountant and the attorney. When there's communication between the accountant and attorney, then you could figure out for your particular situation what entity is really going to work out best for you.
Because your needs change as your business evolves, correct?
Correct. And it also changes. You know, a lot of people start out part-time.
Right.
And then as they move to full-time, it may make a difference what type of entity they're in.
So give me an example. So Most people start out as a sole proprietor, right? Generally, right? They just say, hey, this is Steve's business and Steve's selling shoes, because that's what I like to sell, right? So Steve's selling a few shoes, getting good at it, you know, a little bit of money coming in, not really a business, probably a hobby for a while. And that probably is okay at that level, correct?
Correct.
Okay. And so what point do you decide that a corporation makes sense? And I know that's a general, broad statement, because right. I'm sure if I have eight other businesses, or I have a lot of, you know, I have $10 million sitting in a bank account, you know, the liability needs to be protected. But you know, generally,
it really, you know, it depends on everybody's circumstances. So are they doing it full time? Are they doing it part time? You know, do they have, you know, a job and they're going to continue in their job and do this, you know, as a side business?
Well, stop there a second. Tell me what would that advise you? So I still work full time, right? I have a full time business, and so I'm a part time seller. And so am I ready for an S corp?
Well, you know, you typically want to have some type of liability protection. So you might want an S corp, or you might want an LLC. And then as you go and you grow, maybe that LLC needs to make some changes. Maybe you need to elect to be treated as a corporation and an S corporation. You know, everybody's circumstances are different. So just because you're selling shoes doesn't mean you should be a corporation.
Okay. Would you say this, though, that generally, again, I mean, and this is hard because it's very specific, right? And that's the beauty of what you do, is very specific, right? And that's where the tax benefits come in the specificity, right? I mean, that's really what,
yes,
hey, this law definitely says this, then you can do this, right? But let's take somebody, would you say that all full-time sellers at this point should be probably an S corp or something like that, generally?
You know, that would be a good general statement, but they could also be an LLC and make it work. It also depends on whether they have partners and, you know,
right,
or shareholders, and how their split is, the, you know, devised, and what kind of liabilities they have. There are a lot of things that go into it. That's why it's not just, you know, okay, you're making X amount of dollars, you should be a corporation, you know, or you should be an LLC. It really, you know, makes a difference on what that individual's circumstances are. So,
and really what they want to do, right? I mean, if they're just quick to make the money and they don't have any plans to really build a business, they're building a quick income stream to take them somewhere else. You know, for example, they want to make as much money as quickly as they can because they want to get into the rental business or something like that. Well, it might not make sense for that one business until they evolve into this second business. Maybe. I guess there are so many extenuating questions, right, that really make that decision pretty important.
Right. And that's why it just takes communication, really. It's, you know, it should not be just one person making that decision. You should have, you know, your whole team.
And so walk me through what you think a team should be. So you're not a bookkeeping company, correct?
Well, we actually, one of the services we offer is we offer, you know, tax and accounting, and we handle all the bookkeeping that goes along.
Okay, so you do offer those services,
yes,
too.
And we also offer outsourced CFO services. So we, you know, everything starts with a tax plan, but we do those other things. We just don't do a lot of individual tax returns that are not affiliated with a business.
So I come to you, walk me through the process of what you would expect. So I'm going to get my 2016 taxes done, right, by my regular guy.
Right.
And then from there, what would happen?
So I would say before you get your 2016 taxes done, you come see me and we look at your 2015 documents and you tell me, okay, what kind of a year you had for 2016. And now, you know, this is going to be airing after January 1st, but there are still certain things you're allowed to do legally that can affect your 2016 taxes.
All the way up until
March? You file that return.
Oh, even when you extend it then?
Yes.
So technically until, was it October or something like October, November?
October or September 15th or October, depending on what type of entity you are, yes.
That's a new item. That's a little thing I didn't understand.
So we can make a late election sometimes and we can save you $15,000. You know, and it's, like I said, not rocket science, but it's dollars that you're saving.
Can you walk through a couple examples of the number one places that you see the savings?
Well, entity selection is one.
Okay, so choosing an S-Corp because you could limit the Social Security and Medicare and employer-employee, blah, 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 right? That's correct. A big one. That's
or,
a real big
making an election or a late election to have your LLC taxed as a corporation.
Okay.
And there's not a lot of people that are out there doing that, but we do that quite often. Then we have what we call medical expense reimbursement plans. Let's just say you're in this business and you're operating as a sole proprietorship or an LLC and you have kids and maybe they need braces. Mm-hmm. We show you how you could actually legally deduct those braces.
Ooh. Okay. Well, you hit a hot topic. And one of the pre-show, there are a couple hot topics I want to talk about, and health insurance is going to be one of them. I'm going to save it till after the break, but that's going to be one that I want because I've seen that comment, you know, Obamacare, call it whatever you want, is unknown at this point, right? We don't know what's going to happen, and people are worried, or they're thinking about making the leap into full-time reselling, you know, or this kind of business, and they're very concerned about health insurance, you know, and then the tax treatment of that, because that's a big deal, right? The tax treatment of health insurance could be significant.
Yeah. Yes, and especially if you did leave a job and you're on COBRA, okay? How do you make that COBRA tax deductible? And there was a recent ruling that just changed the way that works, which is a good ruling for us, for small business owners.
And this is the reason I don't do taxes right there. It's a recent ruling. You got to keep up. And how do you read that stuff and stay awake? I can't imagine.
I don't sell on eBay and I don't sell on Amazon. Yeah. So.
Okay. All right. So fair enough. You got focus. Okay. So we're going to save that one. Other big deductions that you see, other big savings opportunities?
Yeah, the late elections, accountability plans.
What's that?
An accountability plan is, let's just say, you know, where are you operating your business out of? Okay, do you have a home office? How do you deduct the different things that you have in that home office? An accountability plan, and maybe there's two of you. Maybe you have a partner. So my partner likes to drive a Jaguar and I like to drive a Honda Civic. How do we keep it equal? Mm-hmm. So we use an accountability plan where each person gets a check, let's just say $500, $1,000 a month. And at the end of the year, they need to give me all the receipts that equal of the deductible expenses that they were reimbursed for. So it's a way to keep things equal.
Oh, that's really interesting. And then the treatment of those get handled in the tax return.
Correct. And then you have, you know, your home office, and then we have a lesser known, you know, your athletic facility that's affiliated with your home office. So if you have a gym or maybe a pool, how do you deduct that? And if you have a gym or a home office and you have a pool, okay, and that pool is allowed to be used by, you know, the members of your family and the employees and the members of their family, that may be you, now you can deduct the cost of that pool. Totally legitimate.
This is why I hate taxes. It's political. I mean, there's a reason somebody put that little deduction in there to benefit somebody. You know, it's so political. It doesn't make sense. If it made sense, it'd be a flat tax. It'd be like, here, everybody gets treated the same way. But because there have been influences made, right, political influences over time, and probably at the time, some of these rules might have made sense, but they are what they are, right?
Oh, yeah. Exactly. And like they're typically politically, there's, you know, we look at the rule where somebody can rent their house out for up to 14 days a year and not pay tax on that income. So we look at, like, you know, the U.S. Open, and, you know, it was done so people will rent their houses out to the pro golfers when they come to these remote areas.
So they put a tax deduction out there just for that.
Basically, you don't have to claim that income if it's up to 14 days a year. If you do it for 15 days, you have to claim it all.
God, I hate politics. I hate it because it just, it's so, you know, you wish if it would be nice if they'd clean the slate and then try to do it, right? Most of this stuff would never make it now.
Right.
Is it hard for tax items to get changed? I mean, once that stuff, that like that deduction, the 14 days, is that hard to undo?
Yeah, Congress, you know, it's hard for Congress to do anything.
So once it's there, it's generally there.
Yeah.
All right. Wow. So when people are looking to close out their 2016, what are the things they should be looking at right now and trying to get in order, right? Because it's, you know, let's, this will be after the year end, fiscal or calendar year end, excuse me. Sorry, thinking of my old job. After calendar year end. And so what else should they be looking at closing out? Because in the second half, we're going to talk about setting yourself up for success in 2017. What would you suggest?
Well, are there bills that you need to pay? Okay. Do you have the money to pay them? Have you thought about some type of retirement plan, which you do have up until, you know, you have a while to do that. But just have you expensed all the things that you're allowed to expense this year? Have you charged those items?
You know, I see a lot of people talking about, hey, buying some more supplies, more shipping supplies and things like that, and making sure they get it, you know, in this year, that kind of thing, which makes a lot of sense. How about, you know, going out and buying a vehicle or things like that now? You know, I remember in the old days, that's what they used to do, is you'd get that car. You'd see everybody get a new car that last week of the year, all the professionals, you know, brand new car, and they get it in for that tax treatment. With the changes in the tax law, I don't know how long it's been, this Section 179 used to be a very little dollar amount. Now it's, I believe, quite significant. Am I correct?
Yes, it's quite significant. It doesn't work with a car, unfortunately. It has to be an SUV over 6,000 pounds.
So an SUV, how about a van? Because a lot of our guys have vans.
If it's a commercial van, not a minivan.
Right. A commercial van, though, would meet the requirement.
Correct. Okay, it's got to meet a weight requirement.
And it used to be you would depreciate that over time, right? You would have to amortize it, you know, I don't know if it's 3 years, 5 years. Again, I don't pay attention to it, 3 years, whatever it is. With this rule, you can basically take the full deduction. Is that correct?
Correct. You could take the full deduction. So if you go out today before December 31st and buy a brand new Sprinter, you can write the whole thing off in 2016.
So if I'm going to – my income was – $30,000, and that's taxable income, right? And that's going to be switched over to my tax return. I could go out and buy a $30,000 van, Sprinter, as you say, and pay for it. Do I have to pay for it, or can I finance it?
You can finance it.
Okay, and I can take that full $30,000 as a tax deduction this year?
Yes. I mean, there may be a few limits depending on exactly if you're $30,000 or under $30,000, but yeah, generally, yes.
And I can finance it, meaning that I can lease it. No, leasing is different. I can buy it and make one payment and yet get the full deduction in 2016?
Yes.
Oh, that's tricky. So, and you get the tax savings, which is significant, you know, I mean, you know, depending on the tax bracket you're in. And then you can find it. Oh, that's interesting. Okay. All right. You're blowing my mind. I'm going to take a break. When we come back, I want to set up 2017 for success. I have a couple specific tax treatments I want to talk about. As I said, health insurance. And I think I'd like to close with steps to success, how to set people up for success. But I've already blown away because, again, your service is free unless there's value, unless you can prove that you can bring value, correct?
Correct.
And that's a value. So, all right. Well, I'm going to take a break. We'll be right back and we can start again. Be right back. A great time to take a break. I want to talk about Andy Slammons, and he's back with his best private label training yet. If you haven't participated, because it's only open for a little bit and he closes it, this one's going to be his best one yet. It's complete. It's the whole process that'll help you build your very own brand. And I think that's what you got to start thinking about. You are trying to build a brand. It's amazingfreedom.com, amazingfreedom.com, where you're going to learn how to find a product, how to source the product, how to find the manufacturer, how how to negotiate with suppliers. These are all critical things. How to run PPC sponsored ads on Amazon. Does that sound foreign to you? Well, it's not going to after this. How to import, how to get ranked number one in search. That's the biggest deal. I mean, you got to get ranked, right? That's what you got to do. And then we're going to try and drive some traffic to your listing. How do you do that? Well, what's really exciting this time is Andy Slammons and Leron Hirschkorn, both million-dollar sellers of private label. They're going to teach you how to do all of that. I've personally spoken to a number of Andy's students that are crushing it. You've heard some of them on my show. You've heard them tell their success. They credit the one-on-one attention that you get from the course. You have questions, you get answers. And that's what you really need to do. So it's amazingfreedom.com, amazingfreedom.com. Check it out. You're going to find out how to private label for your business. This is a business you are growing, a brand, and that's what they're going to help you do. Andy Slammons, amazingfreedom.com. Tell them I sent you.
Man, there's nothing like hearing some finance people talk about accounting stuff. I get excited. You know, in this segment, we spend some time really getting down into nitty-gritty. And, you know, some of it, you know, I apologize if it's too much minutia for you, but I'm telling you, this is the stuff you got to worry. This is the stuff where the, you know, when you make, you know, $10,000 and you get to keep a good portion of it, that's a big deal. That's inventory you can buy. And so, you know, this segment, we get really specific and we even bring up Beaver in Canada. We even talk about him in Canada and the Canadians and what they request. And at the end, he offers a free book. And understand, I don't benefit in any way. No affiliate, no nothing. It's just a guy who approached me, and I love what I love his story. I just love the focus of what they do. And so he's got a free book, and I'm ordering mine. It's free. They'll mark it to you a little bit, but I think it's worth it to get better at this and keep more of what you have sold. Let's get back into the podcast.
All right, we're back, and we're talking with Craig Cody, and Craig is a CPA, but he's also what's called a certified tax coach. And, you know, Craig, let me ask you this. What's the difference between a certified tax coach and my local H&R Block where I can get my taxes done for like $150?
So H&R Block or tax preparer is somebody you go to.
There's a guy out there in that little green outfit. Do you have one of those guys? And he's always waving to me. He's always waving to me in the green outfit, the Statue of Liberty.
I think that's Liberty.
Yes. Yeah, they're always waving. Hi. They seem friendly.
So they basically, you know, they do compliance work. You give them your W-2s and your information, and they record it, and they prepare a tax return for you. So it's pretty much black and white. You're paying them to perform a service, and that's what they're doing. They're not looking at anything. They're not giving you any advice. They're not trying to be proactive because they're not getting paid to be proactive.
Hmm. Okay, so they're not gonna be, you know, finding additional deductions. They're going to go through a program that's going to be probably a computer program that says, did you do this? Like I've used TurboTax or one of those, you know, where they ask you some questions, but they're very general and they're not very deep.
Yes. I mean, those programs are not designed for people that are operating a business and, you know, are looking to take advantage of everything that's out there that they can take advantage of.
It brings me a thought. Does a guy who's going to make $20,000 or $30,000 income on their business, are your services right for somebody like that, or is that just too small?
It really depends on what else they have going on. So if somebody's making $20,000 or $30,000 and they're paying no tax, I can't bring them a whole lot of value because I can't save them anything.
Okay.
But maybe
they're not paying any taxes, right? They're not paying any tax. Okay.
Correct.
Okay. Makes sense.
But if they have a full-time job and they're paying taxes, maybe I could show them a way that they're able to pay no tax on that $30,000.
And that money coming back into their business, because one of the hardest parts of our business is cash flow, right? We're always starving, you know, because you buy so much inventory and you're buying it so far in advance of selling it. And so you're always running out of money, right? That's just one of the biggest complaints in our business. We're always having cash flow problems. So those tax savings, that's real cash flow. That's money in your pocket you don't have to make those quarterly deposits with, right?
Correct.
Okay. So I'm loving what I'm hearing because, again, you know, I think of these two guys. I won't put their names out there, but they sold millions, and they realized that they have a lot tax liability. And they're like, I think I need another opinion. And I think it you know, it's probably, you don't want to hurt your accountant's feelings. My accountant is a friend of mine. Great guy. Love him. But you kind of don't want to hurt their feelings, you know, somebody double checking their work. But tax is so specific. And it, like you said, it changes so often. It really is worth getting somebody who really knows the details and the specific. And remember, Steve doesn't benefit from having Craig on, right? Steve doesn't, you know, Craig's not paying me or anything. But I get it why you would want somebody who is specific to that. I think it makes a lot of sense.
Right, but you do not have to leave your accountant.
Right.
Okay, when we put together a plan for you, you can take that back to him and you can implement it with us or implement it with him and still work with him.
You're part of the team.
Exactly.
Because even I'm sure, even most firms, right, maybe, you know, I don't want to use bookkeeping firms, but bookkeeping plus firms, I'll call it, where they have a CPA or two on staff and they generally do a lot of bookkeeping, payroll, stuff like that. They probably need to use a specialist when it comes to a specialized type of audit, right? I'm sure they have to bring in somebody who can help them with very specific things because it gets complicated.
Yes. I mean, sales tax audits, there are specialists out there that handle sales tax audits. Yeah. So, yeah. And like I said, we can work with the accountant. We're not here to bash anybody. And like I said, they're usually very good at doing what they're supposed to be doing, which is, you know, keeping you compliant, putting the right numbers in the right boxes.
I love that term, the compliance, because that really does make it understandable. Okay, so let's talk about setting up 2017 for success. Let's assume, you know, 2016's closed out. You've looked through my stuff. You found some things. Help me start to develop a plan. Where are you starting?
Well, we start with the entity. We see if that's the right entity. And if we need to make a change, we make a change. Then we look at compensation and we see what the right compensation is.
Because that matters, right? I mean, that matters. Yes. That's a big item right there because having the right reasonable compensation. And that's kind of arbitrary, but, you know, I'm sure there's some reasonableness there, right? That makes a big difference because of Social Security and Medicare, right? That's those payroll employer and employee. That's a big deal, right? It's 15.3% or something.
Yes.
Yeah, it's a big number. So, sorry, didn't mean to stop you, but I want to emphasize that one.
So then we basically go over that, and then we look at implementing the things that we recommended, things that can be done in 2017. And then we make sure that you do those throughout the year. And it might be one thing. It could be five or six things.
Are you looking out even further than that for me? I mean, are you saying, where do you want to be in a couple of years, Steve? How big do you see the business getting? Do you see staffing? Do you see outsourcing, blah, 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 that kind of stuff?
Well, we talk about that, but you can't, you know, we're not planning for that, you know, okay. As far as additional staff. And, you know, we may look at, okay, you're going to have to take on a new lease or something like that. But we're typically not going out, you know, that far. I like to go 1 to 3 years.
Okay. Okay. And most people would have no clue past that. I mean, I get it.
Yes.
We all want to be $100 million sellers. Well, what does that mean? You know, how realistic is that, right? You know, that's 10 years out. Okay. Well, that's not relevant.
And the key is really always making sure you have that constant communication, though. Because as things change, if you communicate, you stay on top of them and you take advantage of what you can take advantage of.
Well, how often would I be communicating with you?
You know, depending on the person, you know, we like to say, you know, you should have a phone call like at least every month. Okay. Some people, you know, they're too busy and we make sure it happens at least every quarter, but we know what's going on. And, you know, maybe their person is dealing with my person, depending on who they are.
Okay.
But communication is key, and they always know if they're doing anything out of the ordinary, we need to talk. Because maybe there's a better way to do it.
Right, and so that's key right there. That's a pro tip right there. Before you make that big decision, talk with somebody up front, because the way you do it, the steps you take will have an impact, one way or the other, positive or negative, they will impact it, and that's a big deal.
Most definitely.
Okay. All right. So we talked about Section 179. It's a huge limit right now. So you can generally write off most large equipment purchases. So the guy who's putting a packaging line in or those kind of things. So is it like $500,000 last year? Is that correct?
Yeah. Honestly, I've never approached that total number. So
okay. But I mean, it's a big number. It used to be $17,000, I remember,
yeah.
Or 16 grand. I mean, that's how old I am. I remember that. But I have, like I said, I don't do it. we already talked about the approximate cost that your services would be. Let's talk about health insurance, because I see this in my circles. It's become a big issue, as again, people are either leaving a full-time job and they're doing this part-time, and now they're thinking about making the leap, but they're like, how do I handle health insurance? And can I run it through my business, my health insurance? Or they're taking their wife's health insurance and they want to bring her full-time in the business, and that's, how does that work in the future, right? Or they don't have health insurance and they need to start it up. So can you talk about how health insurance is treated?
Well, for somebody that's an owner of a business, and let's just say you own more than 5%, health insurance is not deductible to the business. It's deductible on your personal return. So it pretty much has the same effect.
Okay.
Okay. But let's just say somebody that has COBRA, and so they're paying the COBRA personally. How do you make that deductible to the business? And with a medical expense reimbursement plan, that's one way you can do that. It was only recently where they changed the rule, because I was about, as part of Obamacare, you could not do that effective. I believe it was July of 2015. And they just really reversed that ruling, which allows you to do that. So there were people that were, you know, formerly employed that now were self-employed, and they were paying for COBRA, but they weren't able to deduct it. And as we know, health insurance is expensive.
Yeah. And it's not going to get cheaper. Rumor has it my doctor wants more money, and the six insurance companies in between there, they all want more money. So I don't think it's getting cheaper. So again, let me understand this. So I'm a single guy and I start a business, and I'm making, you know, $50,000 a year in my business profit and taxable profit. And I want to get health insurance, and it's $1,000 a month. None of that is deductible for the business?
Correct. It flows to your personal return where it gets deducted.
Okay.
So the net effect is really the same thing.
So how does that work? Because aren't there limits, or does it depend on the designation again where the limit is?
Well, the limits have to do with, you know, your ownership level, whether you can deduct it or not.
So, I'm 100% owner, and I'm no employees, just me. I'm 100% owner.
And you're a sole proprietor.
Okay, so I'm not a corporation. I'm just a sole proprietor.
Then you're deducting it on page one of your 1040.
And so am I able to deduct all $12,000?
Correct.
Okay, so all $12,000.
If you do it correctly, if you do it correctly, yes.
And you're in the 25% tax bracket, 20, whatever it is.
That's $3,000.
That's a big deal.
Yes.
That's a big, big deal. And so now that $12,000 really isn't $12,000. It's $9,000. And you sit back and say, okay, that's not as expensive as I thought to have that security and that protection. Okay, so now I'm a husband and wife running a business, and we have not incorporated yet. Is it the same? Is it
the same?
Because it's a spouse. So it's under whoever the owner of the business is. And if they're 50, I guess, whatever. Okay. So now we choose an S corp or an LLC or a C corp. Are they handled differently?
The C corps are handled a little bit differently. The C corp is deducted in the C corporation. The S corp and the LLC are basically handled the same way as the sole proprietorship.
And it comes on the 1040.
Correct. And the beauty of the C corp is there's a lot of benefits that you can deduct inside of a C corp that are deductible that would normally not be deductible.
Now, the negative of a C-Corp, if I remember correctly, is there's a lot more complicated filings and things, correct?
No, you're still filing a corporate return. The question is, you know, how do you get that money out?
Okay.
And, you know, one of the things that we do with our e-commerce people is that's where they keep a lot of their inventory, because there's a spread on a tax rate on the first $50,000. Which can turn into like $9,000. So it's almost
Wait, say that again, because I don't think that's clear, because I'm not understanding it. Nobody else is. Go ahead.
Inside of a C corporation, when you have $50,000 of income, that first $50,000 of income is taxed at 15%. So let's just say you have a job and you're making $150,000 in your regular job and you're in a high tax bracket.
Mm-hmm.
Let's just say you're in the 30% tax bracket. And if you have this C corporation that has profits and it has $50,000 in profit, it's paying on a federal level 15% rate versus your 30% rate.
And since is that subject to Social Security and Medicare taxes at that example?
No, but the problem is you have to get the money out of the C corp, and that's where we work with you to structure things so you can make it work for you.
Because then the C corp is corporate tax rates, depending on, right. And that begins, you know, depending on the state, it could be 30-40%, correct?
Right. So you have to be very careful and do it the right way. And you have to understand, you know, how you're going to get that money out and what you're going to use that money for. And, you know, we have clients where they're saving $9,000 a year and they're buying $9,000 more inventory in that, inside that C-Corp.
That's huge. That $9,000 of more inventory is the difference why your competitor has that advantage over you. And we, you know, I see a lot of talk about that. You know, how can they do this? How can they do that? Well, their circumstances are different than yours, but more than likely, they chose those circumstances. And I think that's the lesson. You know, you sit here and listen to Craig, there are a lot of choices that you've got to make in running a business, and the right choice or a choice has an impact, good or bad, right? No matter what, it's going to have a good or a bad impact, every choice. And so that's what I, you know, when I sit there and listen to you, it's really important, all these choices. I mean, a really big deal.
Right. And you know, I tell people, you should not look at your accountant as an expense. Look at the value that they can bring, because ultimately they should be, you know, saving you money.
Right. Yeah. Hey, I'm thankful I spent that $1,000 because he saved me $6,000, right? That's the right approach, as opposed to, damn, I got to pay $1,000 for this, you know? I agree with you. I really agree with you.
I mean, if your broker called you up and said, I could give you six times your money, you know, it's a sure thing.
I mean, there's no question. Every one of us, you know, it's funny, you know, we try to, everybody here wants to work at 100%, you know, return of investment, or, you know, hey, we'll settle for 40%, you know, that kind of thing. All right, well, he's going to give you six times your money back. I love it. All right, so give me three steps to success. And then what's very cool is you have a book. And so we're going to, and you're going to give that book away for free. Again, Steve doesn't benefit. So think that, you know, Steve's going to get the book too, because I'm going to read it. But three steps to success, I asked you to share with us what you think that people can do in their business to set themselves up for success.
I think, you know, knowledge and communication. So make sure you're communicating whoever it is that has that knowledge.
And that's the team member. That's what you're calling them. And I love that phrase. I think that's exactly the right way you should look at them. Part of my team, my lawyer, my accountant, my tax preparer, or my tax reviewer, specialist. Correct. Specialist. That's probably the right word.
Tax coach, whatever you want to call us. The guy that's going to get the job done for you. Then, I mean, for as a business owner, I think, you know, being able to block out time to get certain tasks done, and the ability to delegate when you can delegate.
Love it. And I delegate my taxes, because there's no chance I want to learn all these specific things and stay up on it. You can learn it once, but to stay up on it, because the politics seem to change every year. Every year.
Correct. You know, I have a bone saw in my office, okay? I bought a bone saw on Amazon. But just because I could buy it doesn't mean I'm going to do an amputation.
All right. It's a little scary. Why would you own a bone saw? Is there a story? That must be one of those cop things. I must go back to when you were a cop. All right. I don't want to know. Don't tell us. We don't want to know, but that's a little threatening. Okay. So now we're intimidated. Okay. So the ability to delegate, you think, is another one. And then you're saying to organize your tasks. Is that what you said for the second one?
Yes.
Okay.
Time block.
Time block. Love it. Okay. So tell me about, you have a book. And let me make sure I got this. 10 most expensive tax mistakes that businesses make. Is it today?
10 most expensive tax mistakes that cost business owners thousands.
That cost business owners thousands. And this is a real book. It wasn't just an ebook that you have.
No. This is a real book, a bound, you know, paperback book.
And you said that you're going to give it away. Is it you're going to give away one copy, or you're going to give it away to anybody who inquires?
Anybody inside the continental U.S.
Ah, okay. And so where are they going?
Sorry.
No, go ahead.
If they're outside the continental U.S., we just said, you know, because postage gets around $9 to $10, so we just ask that they pay for postage.
And why would somebody in, like, Sri Lanka want a U.S. tax book?
It's typically Canada.
Those Canadians. Beaver. Difficult. You don't know Beaver, but if you do, he'll ask you 10,000 questions. He'll appreciate that. It's those Canadians again. You know, I know it. Canadians. It's that open border that we had for a long time. But anyway, so walk me through the book. And so it's a free book. You'll mail it to us by signing up for an email, I guess. That's what the value to you is.
Correct.
Okay. And you're going to pitch me your services, I assume.
Basically, you're going to get our weekly email, which is typically funny and enlightening and current events related, but where it just talks about the value of tax planning. And you get the book.
Okay. And what's the website?
We put it on your...
I'll have a link on my website. I'll have it in there.
It's CraigCodyandCompany.com/momentum.
Okay. Company.com/momentum. And I'll have the link on this episode. And if someone had questions, are you open to general questions, specific questions, or is there a limit?
I'm willing to talk to anybody.
Okay. So, okay. Yeah. And they can actually talk to you on a phone or something like that, like a real conversation?
Our phones work here, yes.
Oh, nice.
So we have my email, which is craig@ccodycpa.com.
ccodycpa.com. Okay.
And our office line is 516-869-4051.
Okay. That's a real phone number. Oh my God. People have real phones today. It's a big deal. I like to know who I'm talking with, and I'd like to be comfortable. I love the approach what you're taking is saying, hey, you know what? Yeah, I looked at your stuff, Steve, and you know what? Your guy's doing a good job. I wouldn't recommend changing a thing. To me, that's valuable, and again, I'm going to send a copy of this to the two fellows that were asking this question because they were concerned about it. And for somebody who specializes in tax, it's worth figuring out because we're talking big money. I mean, when you're getting into these $1 million levels, right, the tax liability could be huge.
Yes. Yes. And especially if you're growing fast and last year it wasn't so big, it could catch you by surprise.
Yeah. And those things tend to bite you. Okay. Yes. All right, man, I appreciate you taking the time. I'm going to have all these links. I'll have a link for his free book because I'm going to click through it myself out there. And, we're starting, I think this is going to be my trend is I'm going to close out every year with this kind of person coming on. Would you come back maybe next year and come back and update,
definitely.
To see, I'm looking for somebody who became a client of yours through the podcast and what you were able to do. That would be very valuable to us. So if you get anybody, you don't have to tell me their name, just mentally make a note of it because I think that'd be valuable. And then really launching the next year, because if we can help people figure out how to set their business up for success and, for marketable, right? Because this stuff is a big deal when I go to try and sell my business, right? All this stuff.
Yes.
It's a big deal. Okay.
It comes back to keeping more of what you make.
I love it. Craig, man, I wish you nothing but success. Thank you so much and Happy New Year to you.
Thank you so much for having me and a Happy New Year to everybody.
Great new sponsor, Feedback Genius. The holiday shopping season is the most profitable time of year. This is when we have everything right. As an Amazon seller, we've got our listings right. We've got inventory in the warehouse. Everything's polished, ready to go. But if you're not following up with shoppers with automated emails, especially when you're selling the volume you are, you're leaving seller feedback and product reviews on the table. This is valuable stuff. Feedback Genius is the premier automated Amazon messaging system. It sends messages based on actual order events. That's a big deal. There's no guessing when to send a targeted email. It just automatically happens. It arrives in the shopper's inbox. It's a great system. Get started 30-day. They're giving us 30-day free trial. FeedbackGenius.com. You got to use the code MOMENTUM. Go to FeedbackGenius.com/MOMENTUM, and you're going to get 15 extra day on your free trial. So that's 45 days and 500 bonus messages you can use at any time. Tell Jeff and the guys, I sent you. That's 45-day trial. I love that. Thank you, guys. Use the code MOMENTUM, feedbackgenius.com, MOMENTUM. Man, what a great guy. Other than the bone saw, I love his story. The bone saw scares me a little bit, I must admit. It's funny thinking about, all these little nuances, all these little things to consider. Hence the reason I don't do my own taxes. I couldn't keep up with it. I mean, it's just so much detail. And so to get somebody who's a specialist, I love the team atmosphere he's talking about. This is a valued member. You're not spending $1,000. You only spent $1,000 and you were able to get this big result. That's the way you got to start looking at this. This is a real business you're trying to build. And again, this is a business you might want to sell someday. So invest in the right resources so you can keep more of what you make. ecommercemomentum.com, ecommercemomentum.com. Take care.
Thanks for listening to the e-commerce Momentum Podcast. All the links mentioned today can be found at ecommercemomentum.com under this episode number. Please remember to subscribe and like us on iTunes.